Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Stephanie Rule, live at MSNBC headquarters here in New York City, and we begin this evening's broadcast with a major legal blow for one Donald J. Trump. A judge here in New York ruled that he committed fraud and lied about his net worth for many years. The decision comes as part of New York Attorney General Tish James's $250 million lawsuit against Trump and his company. The judge found Trump, quote, repeatedly submitted fraudulent financial documents about the value of his assets to banks and other insurance companies, and that his financial statements were, quote, based in a fantasy world, not the real world. Earlier tonight, New York Times reporter Suzanne Craig, who has reported extensively on his finances, described exactly what the judge told Trump's lawyers at the hearing that led...
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. It is September 28th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. And we have a pretty good show lined up tonight.
Yes, indeed. And a New York judge, as you heard Stephanie Rule from MSNBC's show, said that Trump defrauded banks and insurers, and he's just a major league liar and a pathetic one at that. And he wasn't rich. Well, he was rich in comparison to what he said he was worth. And, you know, the chicken's coming home to roost. And I'm sure we'll come across people in our lives who are very dishonest. You know, talk a good game. And, you know, when push comes to shove, and when it's time for rubber to meet the road, you know, to just, you know, go back on the word, basically, without any explanation. But, hey, that's life, right? So Trump, the scumbag that he is facing justice, and it couldn't come soon enough and everything. So the New York judge ruled Donald Trump committed fraud, like I said. I'm going to listen to the remaining of her report on MSNBC. This is Stephanie Ruhle.
Thanks for today's ruling.
At one point, the judge, and maybe we all should have seen this coming today, the judge, I don't even want to paraphrase it, it was so good. He was so angry, he started pounding on his desk and looking at the Trump lawyers, and he said, you cannot make false statements and use them in business. That's what the statute prohibits. So he was just furious. He was just like, shut up. They had all these excuses for why these financial statements were essentially worthless.
This ruling means the civil trial can move forward, and it is set to begin next week. Meanwhile, Trump's fighting a request from special counsel Jack Smith for a limited gag order in the 2020 election case. Late yesterday, Trump's lawyers told the court that that order would silence him and take away his First Amendment rights. As the former president battled many legal threats, the current president, Joe Biden, was at the UAW picket line in Michigan today, supporting striking auto workers. My colleague Dave Gutierrez was there.
In a historic visit, a U.S. president on the picket line, throwing his full-throated support behind the striking United Auto Workers.
Gave up a lot, and the companies were in trouble. But now they're doing incredibly well. And guess what? You should be doing incredibly well, too.
President Biden at a General Motors plant outside Detroit, wearing a UAW hat and standing shoulder to shoulder with Union President Sean Fain.
It's about the auto workers who are part of the fabric of the working class of this country.
The union has a number of demands, including 40% pay hikes. Today, the president said he supports bargaining for that, each automaker offering roughly 20% raises. The White House has not been directly involved in the negotiations.
Do you think the president has been as involved as the citizen during this whole process?
No, or not.
Ford worker Tamika Ellis thinks the president should have come sooner.
I know he's busy and he has a schedule, but I do believe that because this is very huge and how it can affect the economy, that he should have been a little more involved.
Tomorrow, Donald Trump will skip the GOP primary debate and he will head to Michigan to speak to workers at an auto supplier.
Okay, so there you have it. Joe Biden doing what a president should be doing out there, picket lines, supporting workers, working families of America who keep the auto industry afloat and everything. And, you know, Republicans, for the life of me, I can't understand why they would be against workers' rights and what have you. And, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that, you know, they're such douchebags, the behavior. You know, what's your thoughts on it, Lori? Hello? I don't know what's happening. Lori, can you hear me? Oh, Jesus Christ, what the hell is happening? Yeah, okay, I don't know what's going on here.
Can you hear
Hello,
me?
Hello, welcome to the show. Yes, loud and clear. I don't know what the hell happened just now, but...
So now you can hear me? Okay.
Yes,
All
loud
right,
and
so
clear.
Okay, so now, as I was saying, I was happy to see that President Biden join the picket line. He's actually the first president in history to do that. He felt it was important, and I think the main reason he felt it was important is because the auto workers gave up so much when the auto companies were not doing well back in 2008, and then we had the recession. I'm sorry, 2008, we had the recession, and then when we had COVID, and, you know, they were hurt by that. So they gave up a lot, and now, since, you know, they gave up a lot, they have been doing well. You know, they're making billions of dollars of profit. Their CEOs are, you know, got 40% raises. And so they're all doing well, you know, from the top,
mm-hmm.
up, you know, from the top, at the top, mm-hmm. not at the bottom. So
mm-hmm.
I think President Biden noticed that. He did
mm-hmm.
mention, you know, that they're doing very well and they need to share some of their wealth. And there's no
mm-hmm.
reason why they can't do that. So that's the main reason that he went, to show solidarity with the workers. And I was
mm-hmm.
very happy about that.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
back to the douchebag Donald Trump. So the New York judge
mm-hmm.
ruled in the state attorney general's $250 million lawsuit against Donald Trump and his company this past Tuesday, or last Tuesday, or was it today? I think it was today. Yeah, anyway, so the former president committed repeated acts of fraud for years, and according to the ruling which allows the civil trial to begin next week, Trump lied to the banks and insurers by both overvaluing and undervaluing his assets when it was to his benefit while exaggerating his net worth to the tunes of billions of dollars. In his 35-page ruling, Judge Arthur Engoron, that's his name, said Trump continually lied on his financial statements and was able to get favorable loan terms and lower insurance premiums as a result. So Trump's legal argument defending the statements is based off a fantasy world, not a real world, the judge wrote. So he continued to say that the case was essentially a documents case, and that the documents case here clearly contained fraudulent valuations that defendants use in business, satisfying the attorney general's burden to establish liability as a matter of law against defendants. So, you know, Donald Trump will pay a huge price, $250 million. They will even take him to trial,
mm-hmm.
but he has to pay that $250 million according to the judge. I think
mm-hmm.
that's justice served, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind if you had a trial for this, because, you know, how can you have a charity and your son, your idiotic Nazi-looking, pasty Nazi, son of a bitch, son, steal from
mm-hmm.
Kids' charity? What the hell is that? You know, how can you sleep at night? Knowing full well that,
oh.
you know, you save a charity for people who are dying, young kids, who not going to
mm-hmm.
have a future, and you steal from them. You know, so I'm glad that this judge and Attorney General, Letitia James,
mm-hmm.
has put a stop to Trump's business in New York, and hopefully other states follow suit if he has any businesses out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trump is the worst in America. To me, America is a great country. A lot of good people are here, but, you know, like I said, there are a lot of scumbags like Trump who claim to be in business, and, you know, all they do is just screw over people who are trying to make it in life and trying to attain the American dream and trying to be good. You know, not saying
mm-hmm.
that people are perfect. We all have our imperfections, but damn it, this son of a bitch, Trump, needs to be in prison. He needs to be under the prison, actually. And the business people who, you know, claim that they're helping people and, you know, do a service to the community and really screw people over. Karma
mm-hmm.
is a hell of a thing. And we'll come back
oh.
and bite, you know, business people
oh.
who are, you know, unfair practices and just, you know, talk a good game, but basically they're full of shit.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we have to know, that at one point, the judge said that he pointed to Trump having exaggerated, this is so funny, the size of his
mm-hmm.
New York apartment to pump
mm-hmm.
its value, repeatedly
mm-hmm.
claiming it was over 30,000 square feet
mm-hmm.
when it was a third of that size. So it was only 10,000
mm-hmm.
square feet.
Yeah.
A discrepancy of that order of magnitude by a real estate developer sizing up his
mm-hmm.
own living space for decades can only
mm-hmm.
be considered fraud. He found Trump,
mm-hmm.
his sons, Don Jr., and their companies liable for fraud. He also
mm-hmm.
denied Trump's for summary judgment that argued New York Attorney General Letitia James' lawsuit should be dismissed. The judge sanctioned Trump's attorneys $7,500 apiece for making legal arguments that they had already been rejected twice. In other words, he said, don't waste my time. Now you owe me $75, $7,500 each. I think that's terrible.
Right.
So the $250 million, from what I understand, has to be paid in cash. That's what I heard. I haven't been able to find anything that says it has to be paid in cash, but that's usually how it goes. So you have to pay that in cash. So I would say that he's in trouble once again.
Yes, in a world of hurt. Yes.
He is
yes,
in
but
a
hey,
world
you know,
of hurt.
Yeah, true, mm-hmm. financially. He probably doesn't have the money, but yet still the idiots out there still give him money. Saying that it is, you know, he's working on their behalf and fighting for them, because if it's him now, it's going to be you tomorrow. And the inbred, stupid people who support Donald Trump still fall for that to this day. You know, I guess it's a cult, you know, and this is what cultists do. You know, fall for anything because they don't believe in anything. So we're going to take a couple callers now and everything. Okay, so we're going to break down the second GOP shit show of the debate. That was last night. Joe Biden joins the AW striking workers. That's a first in history. House Republicans start their inquiry into the impeachment of Joe Biden. Will Republicans shut down the government, or will good sense prevail? Speaker McCarthy, his days are numbered, as Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida and the Freedom Caucus, doing everything in their power to really mess him up and embarrass him and humiliate him. So all this and more tonight when you call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises and be respectful to us as the host and whoever else is on air speaking and giving their opinion and their thoughts. You can go to our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. There are a couple of articles out there. And, so let's get the show on the road. Let's get our first call on. Elaine, we hope you have a speedy recovery and everything.
Elaine.
It took a lot out of you.
Yeah, hope you're doing
well. Go ahead,
tomorrow. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. All right, now, so welcome to the show from Michigan. Hello, Michigan.
I thought you heard me. I'm doing
really?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. I didn't know. I thought you were down and out today.
Well, I don't feel at the top of the world, but I'm feisty. I'll handle it.
Oh,
so,
good.
That's the only way to do it. I was hoping that I've been trying to convince somebody from Florida to call in. And if you're listening, I thought we had a deal. I thought you were going to call in and give your 2 cents worth.
They
must be shy. Anyways, you two are doing a great job, so continue on.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll
have
later.
Another call. I think this is Susie. Is it Susie? 231 error code?
Yes, it is.
Yes, welcome, Susie.
Good. I just can't believe what I'm seeing on the news programs. About the Republicans, and that is a party or is it a joke? It is ridiculous. They have no program. They make no sense. They want to destroy the government by shutting it down. And all the first ones should lose their paychecks while the shutdown should be them. And they're trying to make the so-called impeachment inquiry people working on it, their staff, are going to be paid, which is ridiculous. When the soldiers and everybody else aren't getting paid, that's ridiculous.
That impeachment, from what I saw today, is a total sham and a joke. They do not have any solid evidence against the President of the United States, nothing against Joe Biden. But then, again, they sit there and say that they have mountains of bank statements that are sitting in the back room to the ceiling. Well, where are they? Why don't they bring them out? They won't bring them out because they have nothing. They have nothing. It is such, and this is my theory of why they're doing this, because of the timing. Think about this. He has Georgia to worry about. Now he has New York. He has Washington, D.C. He has Florida, okay? He has that, all of this mountain. He's got a mountain of legal battle. He wants to do, he wants to throw a monkey wrench into our government, telling these MAGA Republicans to hold this sham of a hearing with no evidence, and also shut down the government, thinking that if the government is shut down, then maybe he won't be able, they can delay his trial date because of the government being shut down. That's the only thing that makes sense, the only thing. And then the sham of a, the Biden, taking Biden down and saying he, you know, trying to impeach him, that is just a diversion from what they really want. They want to shut the government down because he thinks that it will delay his legal battle. And that is the only way that Trump knows how to do anything, is by kicking the can down the road. And it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Not this time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You're right on. That's the reason. I even heard news people on TV today say the same thing. It's a delay tactic. He thinks that's going to help him. Ha, not.
No.
Oh,
no.
I wish they would get that, at least that New York thing going and have him in jail and fine him for all that.
Yep.
And Georgia. Mm-hmm. Georgia is solid. They got him on tape.
Yeah.
How can you argue that? It's his own mouth. And he keeps on talking and making a case for the prosecution over and over and over again. He's a moron.
Yes, he is.
The Republican star witness today, which is a historian, he said that there is absolutely no evidence. And that was the Republican star witness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
There was nothing.
No. There is nothing. You know, and some of the things that they are bringing up, he wasn't even president at the time. He wasn't even vice president at the time. It's just something to take attention away from what they really want to do, and that is to shut down the government, because Trump has it in his head that if he shuts down the government, then he can delay his trials. Not going to happen.
Yes.
They're not funded by the federal government. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lori and ladies, I have a super cut here. Courtesy of MSNBC, where Democrats blast GOP impeachment inquiry into Biden. You know, they know it's a sham, and hopefully it will blow up in their faces and backfire miserably on them.
Yep.
Democrats fought back today. This is how it wins. There's a lengthy video, a supercut, as I say, 8.5 minutes. So, you know, we're going to listen to it and, you know, make our mental notes and come back and speak about it.
Oh, Trump, impeachment. Oh, how many impeachments? We got two there. How many indictments? We got four. How many for Biden? Zero, zero. We're here because of that. That's what this is about. They can't save Donald Trump. They can't take away the two impeachments and the four indictments, but they can try to put some numbers on the board for Joe Biden. When are you going to have the vote on impeachment, Mr. Chairman? What are you scared of? Call the vote. Come on. If you all think there's so much evidence, we're here. Call the vote on impeachment. Impeach him right now. I dare you.
A powerful moment there today. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee sharply criticizing the Republican chairman and the majority, which held their first impeachment inquiry hearing into President Joe Biden. In fact, Republicans tried to argue that Biden has engaged in impeachable offenses. Even their own witness said there is no evidence to support that claim as of now.
I want to emphasize what it is that we're here today for. This is the question of an impeachment inquiry. It is not a vote on articles of impeachment. In fact, I do not believe that the current evidence would support articles of impeachment.
So that was Jonathan Turley. He is a constitutional lawyer expert, and you know, he said himself, as you heard just now, that you know, there's no evidence to support what they want to do with Joe Biden. It's all, you know, a whole show, you know, a puppet show, basically. So let's continue listening.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring in Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly of Virginia and member of the House Oversight Committee. Mara is also back with us. Congressman, thank you so much for making time for us today. So you were in that hearing today. I was watching it, you know, on TV, but describe for us, what was it like for you to sit through that and witness what the Republicans were presenting?
Well, it's kind of a combination of Alice in Wonderland and a Soviet show trial. You know, especially Jim Jordan trying to connect facts that are not connected and trying to take innuendo and make it sound like it's criminal activity. And meanwhile, the backdrop is these guys aren't doing their job and are about to shut down government. And we have prima facie evidence of a real set of alleged criminal activity by a president, but it's not Joe Biden. And just this week, we had a New York judge actually decide that the Trump Organization had engaged in criminal fraud in inflating its value for the purpose of qualifying for financial loans. And as a result, they risk the dismemberment of the Trump Organization in New York State. Crickets, not a word about that.
Let me play for you, Congressman, a clip that I thought was actually very telling. Not a lot of words, but it speaks for itself. This was when Republicans called a roll call vote. And it appears that, you know, many of them were just absent. They decided not to show up. Watch.
This is the motion to table Mr. Raskin's motion.
Mr. Jordan.
Yes.
Mr. Jordan votes aye. Mr. Turner. Mr. Gosar. Ms. Fox. Mr. Grossman. Mr. Palmer. Mr. Higgins.
As they're holding this hearing, as we see just 2 days before a potential devastating government shutdown, and the fact that most Republican members on this committee didn't even bother to show up for the hearing this morning.
Okay, so yes, the roll call when the committee chairman or the sergeant at arms calling names, they're all missing, conveniently. And, you know, this is the ridiculousness that, you know, taxpayers pay for, where, you know, you elect somebody to show up to do the work. This whole thing is a sham. And I absolutely enjoyed Congressman Moskowitz, that challenge, when he said, call the vote, impeach him now, I dare you. Crickets, nothing but crickets. You know, so remember to get out there and vote in 2024. We need to hold Republicans accountable. Republicans are showing the United States how very little they actually do or plan on doing anything for the citizens and bettering America and moving it forward. GOP is doomed and Trump is toast. Trump is a piece of shit and he's toast. Go ahead, Lori.
I was just going to say it's such a shame. You know, they talk about the homelessness and the things that we need to do in this country. They complain about our roads. They complain about our infrastructure, you know, and everything, you know, and all of that. But yet, this is what they do instead. They have not put forward not one piece of legislation. We don't know if they have for tomorrow, except that they want to impeach the president, our great president right now. That is it. That is for tomorrow.
And this is inconceivable. I don't mean to cut you. Remember what you're going to say, but it is inconceivable how a huge chunk of the population have gone all in, no matter what he does or says for Donald Trump. He failed as a reality TV star. He failed as a casino owner. How the hell can you bankrupt a goddamn casino? Banned from running a charity. He had Trump Ice, failed. He had Trump Airways, failed. Trump Vodka, failed. Trump Beef, or Trump Steak, failed. So everything the man touched turned to shit, basically. you know, and not only does the GOP not keep up with the times, they want to roll us back to the good old days. And I say the good old days in quotes because, as you remember, there was no women's rights. There were no African-American rights or minority rights. They wanted to say gays dead. You know, they just wanted, oh, you know, the white man there on top of the perch, you know, where everybody else getting peed on and shit on, basically. So remember the good old days when you hear them talk about the good old days. It was somebody else's bad old days. And for every rotten Republican, you know, you're going to, your time may come, I promise you. I love every minute of that impeachment, you know, the sham that they're having now. And like Congressman Moskowitz, I dare them to have a vote for, you know, impeach Joe Biden.
You know, the other
there
thing
is no Republican Party. It's the fascist party. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you know
what they want, power. And they showed a commercial that they said that China and Russia and North Korea are clapping and delighted that we're going to hell right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, President Biden today made a speech. It was in Arizona, and it was a speech that brought tears to my eyes. And that man has worked so hard. And you can tell that when he has aged. Yes, he has. But, you know, we have to think about this for a minute because someone said that to me the other day. They said, boy, have you seen President Biden? He looks like he's really aged. Well, do you all remember when President Obama started office and what he looked like when he left office? Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. Every president ages when they're in that position, except for Trump because they didn't do any work. But he's still
he did was just fatter.
Exactly. He just got fatter. But if you think about it, they do because that job, being the president, is 24/7.
Exactly.
And he also said today that when he travels around the world, you know, when he went to the G7, and he said all those leaders come up to him and ask him, you know, and say to him, you know, you are the most powerful country in the world. Are you going to be okay? Are you going to be safe in that country? Is your country going to make it? Is your democracy going to hold on? These are the questions that they ask our president because they see what is happening in this country. And then the people that live in this country don't see it. They go out about their business on a daily basis, and most of them live in oblivion. I don't know how else to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why there isn't an outcry. The former Orange Monster threatened General Milley.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It threatened his life.
Yeah, he should get the death penalty. Yeah, saying that Miller should get the death penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically that's the talk of authoritarian, that type of leader. So you know what the solution is, which not may happen, but, you know, they need to put a time clock on the entry door of both the House and the U.S. Senate and require congressmen and women and U.S. senators to clock in and own like a regular job and only get paid when they actually spend time on the floor debating and talking about bills and co-sponsoring bills and working together, you know, and added to which, put a breathalyzer next to it so they can suffer the same consequences as any other government employee if they show up inebriated. Take a drug test, piss in a bottle.
Yeah.
You know, they want welfare people to piss in a bottle before they get welfare. Well, hey, same applies to every member of goddamn Congress. You know, so, you know, these dirty bastards should lose their jobs, the Republicans, and Joe Manchin, and Kristen Sinema, who's not a Democrat, never was. You know, they must be able to face the electorate, go in there, punch in and punch out like a regular worker. And, you know, when election time come around in 2024, we'll never elect them again. Boot them out. And when this new Congress come in, a majority of Democrats, what they should do also is close that revolving door where when you're in position, you get big money from these big corporations. They donate super PAC and dark money to you. If you lose or you decide to retire, those same special interest groups, you go back and work for them for a cushy pension, a cushy salary, and what have you, and top up your congressional pension, and you still get dental and health for life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these people here, whether Democrat, Republican, especially Republicans, you know, they're just scumbags, evil, manipulative, projectionist scumbags. And I wish I could say what I really want to say on air, but, you know, there are men in black come knocking on the door. These motherfuckers.
They're in it
bastards.
For the power and the money. They don't give a damn about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
no.
we, the
exactly.
people. It's them, and they don't care about anybody else. And, yes,
and
they don't
what,
deserve a pension. They should have the same insurance they give the poorest of us. And they shouldn't be doing deals. And the Supreme Court should be the ones with the bullets in their head because it's their fault that they brought dark money and unlimited money that backs all these guys and the corporations and all that stuff and reversing all the laws that were good and managing. And now look where we're at.
Yeah. And the insurrectionists in Congress are not willing to create endless distractions from their crimes because the help Donald Trump, especially Jim Jordan, you know, who when he was assistant coach in Ohio, he knew what was going on with the coach when he raped those boys and everything. So he should be a co-conspirator because he was pushing January 6th and a whole number of them the night before had a meeting, conference call, somewhere in person. And we just want to know, I guess it's going to come out when Jack Smith has his trial, that they were planning and conspiring and everything. You know, so, you know, people need to take a look at the History Channel, especially the parts about Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Lenin, all those despots and dictators, the Pol Pots, because there are too many similarities to ignore what is going on around some of these Trump-era politicians, whether they're serving the House or U.S. Senate or even a state and local level around the country. We need to see these people for who they are and what they are. And be very afraid that they get reelected in 2024 because they're pushing for an authoritarian government and a dictatorship, not necessarily under Trump, but Trump is such a figurehead and he's so stupid and ignorant that, you know, they can just, you know, say whatever. And because he's not intelligent enough, you know, he just go by what, you know, these people who are handing him tell him to do. You know, so much love to Jerry Connelly, congressman from Virginia, who's on of an oversight committee. He's awesome. Jamie Raskin, also. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
AOC, sure. They're there fighting every day, tooth and nail. And they're not, and the thing is that they know they're not getting anything done. The Democrats are frustrated because they're really not getting anything done because they're constantly putting out fires for these morons, MAGA Republicans that want to destroy our country. Do they realize that they live in the same country that they're trying to destroy? Do they realize?
They don't care. They're just still about money and prestige and power.
Also, like with climate change, though, take that for instance. Don't they breathe the same air we breathe? Don't they drink the same water we drink? Don't they do any of that? Or are they going to float to outers to go besides this earth?
Well, the thing is, for example, with water and everything, pollute the water. Yeah, there's call a friend of about Nestle, who is another scumbag corporation. And... you know, just have bottled water, not drink from the tap water like the poor people in Michigan where what's the name of that place in Michigan? Flint, Michigan.
Flint.
You know? It's almost a decade or probably more now. And because the majority are poor, mostly African American, you know, they say, hey, you know, we're pissing on you, but hey, it's rain, so enjoy it. You know? But had it happened, not in Flint, but an affluent place in Michigan, like Grosse Pointe or wherever the affluent places in Michigan is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within a week, heads would roll. The governor then, he would be in prison. You know, because, you know, you can just like shit on poor people basically with no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Republicans
mm-hmm.
are doing now. That's what the Supreme Court are doing now with their corruption. You know, so,
yeah.
And that's why people in America, you know, like turn off against elections and, you know, don't want to vote and don't take positions seriously because the lie, the steal, the cheat, and the biggest chief one of them is Donald Trump and this set of Republicans, the Trump-era Republicans. They are just so horrible as human beings. I mean, forget the politics and everything. As human beings, they're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one thing, do another thing. They promise a lot of things. Mm-hmm. They don't deliver on that. One of them deliver on anything they promised in the election last night.
Mm-mm.
You know, so the
you
only
know.
Way they can win is through gerrymandering and suppressing people by closing polling
mm-hmm.
stations. You know,
mm-hmm.
so it's just a travesty and disgraceful. The biggest bastion of democracy in the world, the United States of America, who should be the example for the world. And yet still,
mm-hmm.
this nonsense happening because of Republicans. I'm glad Democrats fighting back, but I yield.
Mm-hmm. No, they are fighting back, David. They are. And I hope that, you know, because they are fighting back and because maybe a few more people are paying attention, but I honestly was encouraged. You know, I'm encouraged when I hear that they're fighting back because for a long time, how haven't we spoken about how we think that they don't fight back? Well, they are starting to fight back because they've had enough. You know,
I think the unions are starting it because, you know, it hit everybody's pocketbook. The rich got richer and the poor got poorer, you know, and they're getting fed up with it. You know, Starbucks, Amazon, all those places are, you know, UAW, the writers just settled, but there's a lot more coming out of the woodwork. People are fed up, and they've got to realize, you know, Republicans don't give a crap about the working man. And your only hope is with the Democrats, with all your rights and everything, your insurance, you name it, food, education. They're going to shut all this down. They're going to, you know, daycare.
Well,
even the poor people that lost, you know, aren't getting paid. Their kids aren't in school. So how are they supposed to work and not get paid?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Bottom
no.
Line.
I think the people have seen another big hypocrisy of the Republican Party. Mendez. I think that's how you pronounce his name, Senator Mendez.
Yeah.
Senator Mendez is dirty. The Democrats have asked him to resign. Instead of having the sham of an impeachment against Joe Biden, they should have a vote on getting rid of him. But no, the Republicans all said, we're backing him. He needs to stay. Well, you know what? Because he's a crook, he needs to stay.
Yeah.
I think the people are starting to realize what in the hell is going on. That's the only
you know
reason they want him to stay. Because he's a crook.
Elaine and everybody, you know who laughing now? Al Franken, former senator from Minnesota.
Yeah.
He's probably laughing his ass off now.
Exactly.
Now, people like Kirsten Gillibrand from New York led the fight against him. And his own co-senator in Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, who's useless, you know, she, you know, and Kirsten Gillibrand led the way in getting rid of Al Franken. So, like I said, karma, it's a bitch, you know. When you do bad to people and wish them not well and everything and really screw them over nonsense and ridiculousness and things that, you know, you think that, you know, they're all about without giving a person a chance to defend themselves. Karma have a way of coming back. It may not come back tomorrow. It may not come back a year, but it always come back. And, you know, Kate Reporter, she was on Capitol Hill today, and she really, you know, put Kevin McCarthy in his place. And this is a clip right here. Okay, what's going on? There's no...
By the Congress, would, quote, several impeachments, said that an impeachment inquiry without a floor vote by the Congress would, quote, create a process completely devoid of any merit or legitimacy. Mr. Dubinsky, who said that?
I don't know.
Ms. O'Connor, who said this?
No clue.
Mr. Turley, who said this?
I made an objection along those lines to the earlier decision from Speaker Pelosi to go forward without a House vote, and I've made the same objection today that I think the best practices in going forward is to do that. And what I've said in my testimony is that it's not required around the Constitution.
So Professor Turley, look at me, my time. I agree with you. We're not talking about whether it's required legally. I'm just asking you, can you say again for the committee, do you know who made this statement, and if so, who?
I don't. I've made an objection along those lines.
Look, I need my time. This quote is a statement from now Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Mr. Dubinsky, do you know the date of the House floor vote on this impeachment inquiry?
No, I don't think there was a House floor vote.
Ms. O'Connor, do you remember any House vote?
I have not been following that.
Professor Turley, was there a House vote on this impeachment inquiry?
Not that I know.
So this House vote didn't happen. There has not been a House vote to move forward with this impeachment inquiry. So we haven't followed what the Speaker himself, Mr. McCarthy, has said is the process that we should be following so that an impeachment inquiry would have merit or legitimacy, which is something that I think all Americans on both sides of the aisle should expect investigations or inquiries like this to have. I think Americans should be able to expect that the things we do in this body have merit or legitimacy. Today, by having this hearing, Republicans have changed their tune. I think I know why Speaker McCarthy is going back on his conviction. His members are demanding an impeachment, but their months and months of investigating our president have not revealed yet any evidence that he himself has committed crimes. But Speaker McCarthy wants to keep his job, so he is set on delivering an impeachment inquiry, whether or not there is any evidence, and even if, in his own words, that impeachment inquiry would be devoid of any merit or legitimacy. Mr. Dubinsky, I have one final question. What is the title of this hearing?
The title was The Basis for an Impeachment Inquiry of President Joseph Biden.
But according to Speaker McCarthy, there isn't a legitimate or meritorious basis yet for this hearing. And no amount of noise on the other side of the aisle is going to change this. As Speaker McCarthy said in his words, this impeachment inquiry is devoid of any merit or legitimacy. Wow, I just did it. At the very end of an extremely contentious hearing, I found something that Speaker McCarthy was correct about.
Okay, so that was Congresswoman from California. She's currently running for the Democratic nomination to be U.S. Senator from California, as Dianne Feinstein gave no indication that she's running for re-election. And she may run for re-election, but Dianne Feinstein needs to retire. But, you know, as Congresswoman Katie Porter just said, the illegitimacy and the ridiculousness of Kevin McCarthy, what did he promise the caucus, the Freedom Caucus, to get the gavel in January after 15 votes? You know, the public need to know. It's the right of the public to know. You know, and after months and probably years, not probably, but years investigating Joe Biden, nothing has come up. So why are they using taxpayer money, wasting taxpayer money on this Nazi-like sham thing?
It's ridiculous. And, I already told you my why I think they're doing it. They're doing it because because Orange Man, Trump, basically told them to do. I think it's to delay his trials, that they shut down the government and make all the chaos that they can make, you know, in D.C., if they can just mess things up a little bit more, then, you know, maybe you could delay. Not going to happen. Has nothing to do
and
with this.
And did you notice? Did you notice today, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, congresswoman from the 14th District in New York, she slammed GOP for using fabricated images in the hearing?
Yeah.
I mean, the last, Trey Gowdy, he was a congressman from South Carolina. When the Hillary inquiry in Benghazi went on, he did the very same thing. And according to law, I looked this up, you can get 5 years for tampering with evidence like that. That automatic 5 years. The evidence was there, and Gowdy had to resign almost the very next day. So these Republicans, you know, these scumbags, I should say, because they're not decent Republicans, you know, they should be, you know, called out. And, you know, they should suffer the consequences. Because the election is like over a year away. So why is the media not, besides MSNBC, of course, but, you know, other media, like, of course, Fox News wouldn't report that because Fox News is just an entertainment station. You know, it's just embarrassing, you know. The Republican Party and people who support them is just an embarrassment to the United States, you know, because when the world says things like this, I say, wow, Americans are idiots. What morons even elect scumbags and losers like this? You know, it's disgraceful. It's disgusting.
I do have the article.
As I say, go ahead with the article. Read the article.
I do have the article. Let me find it here. Okay. Today, I call it this AOC, Democrat New York, GOP of displaying a fabricated screenshot during the first formal hearing in Republicans' impeachment inquiry against President Joe Biden on Thursday. AOC's allegation came after Republican Byron Donalds of Florida showed a message that Jim Biden, the president's brother, sent to Hunter Biden, the president's son, in 2018. Donalds claimed it indicated that the president benefited from fraud and money laundering committed by Hunter Biden. The message Donald showed, pulled from an affidavit regarding Hunter Biden, was presented to look like a screenshot from a phone, and it left out much of Hunter Biden's original message, fundamentally changing the context of the conversation, AOC said at the hearing.
Yes. Okay, wait. Instead of reading all that, I have the clip to play.
Okay.
You're reading, I'm going to play the clip.
Okay, great.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Earlier today, one of our colleagues, a gentleman from Florida, presented up on the screen something that appeared to be a screenshot of a text message containing or insinuating an explosive allegation. That screenshot of what appeared to be a text message was a fabricated image. It was a fabricated image. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was the staff of the committee, but it was not the actual direct screenshot from that phone. And in fact, I would like to submit to the committee the actual full context from the Ziegler affidavit number one, exhibit 402, of the full text of that exchange. Do I have permission from the chair? Importantly, what was brought out from that fabricated image excluded critical context that changed the underlying meaning and allegation that was presented up on that screen by this committee and by members of this committee.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the number two Democrat on the Oversight Committee, and she joins me now. It's good to have you there, Congresswoman. This is a really striking moment. There was a much larger part of the text that sort of altered what that conversation about getting a job was really about. How did you catch that, and what does it say that that's the evidence they're using in this, their first impeachment inquiry?
Well, you know, I think this just speaks to the tremendous amount of teamwork that we've been able to accomplish on the House Oversight Committee. Of course, it's an honor to be the vice-ranking member under Congressman Jamie Raskin, who we just heard from. And I think the leadership and the collaboration in that committee, and also the depth and dedication of work, people have been poring over these documents, at least those documents that House Republicans are even divulging before and sharing with the public or the hearing. But you know, I think immediately when this screenshot was raised, first, this was not something that had been seen before, but vaguely had seemed familiar. I think we had our committee staff really tearing through every possible document to try to piece together how this possibly even came to be. And I think we were finally able to match up in real time what the actual context was, as opposed to what Congressman Byron Donalds chose to put on that screen.
So Congressman Byron Donalds, he is a congressman from Florida, 7th District. So if you're in 7th District, vote this bastard out, this rat bastard, this mm-hmm. Uncle Tom. This
yep.
lying sack of
yep.
shit, basically. And you know, every time I come on the show, I try hard yep. not to curse, but these Nazi Republicans really, really piss me off. They can't be honest
yep.
about anything. They can't be truthful about anything. All they do is,
yep.
you know, block, say no, you know, and do crap like this. You know, no wonder people, the independents, look how much the high rate of independent non-voters
yeah.
are. Because of people
yeah.
like him. Scumbag,
yeah.
douchebag, sons
mm-hmm.
of bitches like him. You know?
And
but,
you
hey, like I said, the whole common theme tonight, karma. It's a bitch. And when you're dishonest
yep.
like that, and when you fuck people over like that, you're going to get your karma.
Yep. And you know, the funny thing is that when he, when AOC you know, showed, you know, the evidence that, you know, that he formulated and put on the screen,
mm-hmm.
he was slouched
mm-hmm.
down in his chair as far
mm-hmm.
down as he could go. And he had
mm-hmm.
a smirk on his face that if I think I was
mm-hmm.
in there, I would have slapped his face. Because he thought it was funny. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, he was denying everything. He was like shaking his head
yeah.
saying no and everything, but sinking
yeah.
low and low and
yeah.
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish the whole goddamn building come down on Republicans in there, for real. They're such douchebags, scumbags, you know, inbred pieces of shit, the whole lot of them.
The thing is that find a way for others, other Americans, other people that care, other people that love our country, other people that
mm-hmm.
love our democracy, our freedom,
mm-hmm.
to understand what is happening. I feel like I don't know about all of the rest of you, but I feel some days that I'm in a vacuum, and I feel like I'm going to explode because I don't feel like anyone else around me sees what I see and hear what I hear and cares about what
mm-hmm.
I care about. And I don't really have many reasons to, you know, worry about things in my life. I really don't. But for
mm-hmm.
some reason, I give a shit. I care. I care about this country. I care because my parents came here as immigrants, and they built a life. They loved this country. They were so proud of themselves when they became United States citizens. And I want to keep that shining light there for them. But it's dwindling. It's disappearing. It's going out. So how do we make other people understand the dire straits this country will be in? It'll never come
mm-hmm.
back to what
mm-hmm.
it is right
mm-hmm.
now if we
yeah.
don't win in 24. That's exactly how I feel. It won't.
Mm-hmm.
All the
mm-hmm.
World War II veterans and their families that suffered during the war to fight
yes.
fascism, and this is what we're doing now?
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, my
mm-hmm.
dad would be rolling in his grave. He was wounded in
yeah.
World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God. You know, I came across, and I told you before,
mm-hmm.
tell Congress to stop mega
the mega extreme agenda, and they had a number to call. Call your congressman and tell them. The number was 202-224-3121. If everybody calls Congress and start bitching really good, maybe they'll listen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the number, and what they're asking, and what they're asking, what they're asking you to do, on the CNN put this out. They said, tell Congress, like Susie said, tell Congress MAGA agenda and call 202-224-3121. That's all you have to say. Stop the extreme MAGA agenda. That's all you have to say.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
So, that would be something.
Laura,
I don't.
Yes. So Lori, what do you think about, you know, Matt Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy? They got in a heated exchange during a morning conference meeting, and a Florida Republican accused the speaker of paying influencers to attack him on social media. You know, the confrontation comes while Gaetz is threatening to introduce a motion to vacate. You know, it's a mechanism used to oust a speaker. So if McCarthy backs a bipartisan stopgap finding bill to avoid a government shutdown, then Matt Gaetz from Florida will bring up that, introduce that motion to vacate. And Gaetz has been vocal in his criticisms of McCarthy's leadership in recent days, arguing that the bipartisan short-term spending bill would be a breach of the deal McCarthy made with conservatives to obtain the gavel in January. So what was the deal? The public has a right to know, the voting public, and America has a right to know, what type of deal was this?
It's a good question. What kind of a deal was it? You know? What did McCarthy tell them in those 15 times that he went back and forth? What did he tell them? I remember at the end, near the end, when he and Matt Gaetz were face to face. I would love to know what he said to Matt Gaetz, because then Matt Gaetz turned around, voted for him. I would love to hear what he said, because I remember that distinctly.
Yes,
and why
and,
is Matt Gaetz, why does he have that power over him? What the hell? He's a joke himself. I mean, he's a sleaze bucket. And why are those two people controlling the Republican Party? It doesn't make any sense.
Why? Because the MAGA power, the influence of MAGA, the real shit show that is MAGA, you know, that's why he has so much influence and power. And during the Thursday meeting, McCarthy made the case that they need to send a stopgap that include border security to strengthen their hands in negotiations with the U.S. Senate. So inside the room, the tensions between two lawmakers, Gaetz and the speaker, critics were evident. You know, a lot of multiple sources at the meeting said, during the open mic portion of the conference meeting, Gaetz asked McCarthy, quote, if he was behind the effort to get MAGA influencers to attack him. That's what one lawmaker said. McCarthy shot back saying that he couldn't waste his time or money on him. Matt Gaetz said that he was willing to give Kevin McCarthy the benefit of the doubt. So McCarthy, outside legal counsel, sent a cease and desist notification on Tuesday to an individual leading to the push for influencers to come out against Gaetz, according to the materials viewed by Axios website. And the individual had allegedly claimed that they were acting on behalf of McCarthy. So this back and forth between McCarthy and Matt Gaetz, Rachel McForehead, as he's known, you know, while the country burn and is about to come to a standstill, you know, there are like schoolboys in a schoolyard, you know, taunting each other while, you know, people will be furloughed, people have to work without getting paid. You know, they have the mortgages to pay, they have the school fees to pay, the college tuition. You know, what are these Republicans? Don't they get it? Don't they care? Rhetorical question. You know?
Rhetorical.
These sick rat bastards need all to go to hell, you know?
Yeah.
When is the
NRA?
Wait, one at a time.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Elaine, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, since we know how Hitler took power, all we have to do is figure it out from there. I think there's enough of us, and we've got the communication to talk to one another. I think there is enough of us. We got to start talking and keep on talking. We have to look at how Hitler took power, and that's what the Republican Party has become. They all want to lockstep behind their Führer because they've been promised money, grandeur.
Mm-hmm.
They have been promised.
Exactly.
They're going to be top dogs, and that's what they want.
Yes, ma'am.
I have no other explanation for it. That is what I have figured out. I may be wrong.
Yes. Susan.
I may be right.
Susan. Well, you're going to say
what?
Something.
Well,
you're
I just don't
something.
Understand how McCarthy and Gates could be the two people that are running the entire party. Where are all the other Republicans, you know, like more medium, I mean, in the middle ones rather than the extreme ones? They are there, aren't they? Why aren't they saying anything? And how can two guys run the whole party?
Out of fear that they'll be primaried by a far-right loon like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's from Georgia, or a stupid idiot like the one from Colorado. I guess the
Boebert.
People in Colorado are not too bright, you know. Boebert, yes, because I've had business dealing with certain people in Colorado, and let's just say some Coloradans aren't bright, not too intelligent. But I digress.
You know, don't get how four people can screw up the whole party. How many are there in there?
Mm-hmm.
The whole Republican side of the Congress, legislature, the representatives?
Yeah, I think
four people can ruin everything?
Right. I think in the House there are 212 Republican seats. The rest are Democrats.
Four
in the
of
Senate,
them are screwing
the
everybody
have,
over.
The Democrats have 51 seats to Republicans. No, 50 seats to 50. So it's a tie. So basically, anytime there's a tie in vote, the vice president of the United States, right, the tie-breaking vote, you know, and then they have Bernie Sanders, who always caucus with Democrats, and then the other Congress, the other U.S. senator from, I think, Vermont as well, Angus King, that's his name, caucus with Democrats. So, you know, if the votes are even, then Vice President Kamala Harris is the deciding vote that break ties. Okay, so we move on now from Matt Gaetz, raping my forehead, and Kevin Noballs McCarthy, and the Stupid Freedom Caucus. Freedom spelled F-R-E-E-D-U-M-B, freedom. Yeah, they're dumb as shit. But anyway, Republican shutdown of government. Do you think it's going to shut down after midnight tomorrow, or will good sense prevail? Lori?
What do I think is going to happen Saturday, the shutdown?
Mm-hmm.
If things go the way they did today, I think, yes,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have a shutdown. I do. Because
mm-hmm.
today
okay.
there was no sense, no common sense anywhere with them.
Mm-hmm.
Their minds, I think, are made up. I truly believe
mm-hmm.
that. So I might be wrong, but that's my feeling.
Elaine, what do you think about, do you think they're going to shut down, or do you think it sense?
They're going to shut it down, and they're going to blame Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they have nothing to gain from it, even with blaming Joe Biden. They don't have anything
mm-hmm.
to gain by it.
Yeah.
All they've got to
mm-hmm.
gain by it is their greed and their grandiose attitude.
Stupidity. And their stupidity, the child,
yeah,
the childish behavior.
But
yes.
you know, when you want to be, when you want to feel grand, I guess some people
mm-hmm.
will do anything.
Yes,
they're
yes.
insecure.
Susie, what do you think about? What do you think about?
I think they're
going to
shut it down, but they're going to pay for it dearly. There's not going to be a
mm-hmm.
Republican nominated for anything or reelected, if anybody
mm-hmm.
has a brain in their head, the voters.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's all their fault. It's been all over the news. They don't even mention Biden. How can he control the Republican Party? He can't. It's not
mm-hmm.
up to him
mm-hmm.
to vote and make the budget. It's their problem. And so they're
yeah.
just cutting off their own nose despite themselves. which might be good in the long run for the Democrats.
Yeah, you know, because interestingly, the other government shutdowns that happened, you know, Republicans suffered greatly, and seem not to have learned from their mistakes. You know,
they're stupid.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, and what's even, you know, who's even more stupid? The people who elect them, like the people in Colorado 6, Lauren Boebert. You know, I mean, like I say, I know Coloradans. They're not the brightest people out there. But go ahead, Laura. You're making a point.
I was just going to say, I think that they don't, you know, the Republicans that are there right now do not care. They don't care one way or another. They are on this high and mighty roll right now where they feel that they're all in power. I don't know how to explain it. They don't have any shame. They lie. They lie right when they're being interviewed. They lie even to, let's say, NBC is asking them a question. They lie straight to their face. I watched it the other day, and a reporter was telling him, you know, President Biden wasn't even in office with what you're talking about. He wasn't even president at the time. And all this Republican was saying was, oh, and then they divert, and they know how to twist things. And I've never seen anything like this in my life. I've never understood Republicans. I've never understood the part that they always say that they're conservative. What are they conserving? Mm-hmm. I've always asked that question. What are they conserving? Mm-hmm. They're not conserving anything.
Well,
look what they're doing.
Yeah, we definitely know they're not conserving a brain or a brain power because they have none.
They're not conserving anything. They're destroying the country. They're trying to destroy our country, our democracy. For what?
Mm-hmm.
For their own power, for more money? Well, once the country is destroyed, how far do they think they can get? It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. And I think that all their views are magnified online with the help of Russia and China, and people believe all the crap that they see online. And they're brainwashed.
But my thing is, where is the NRA and their crazy followers when you need them? But I will expound on that. I digress. So the Writers Guild Association, the vote ended the historic Hollywood strike. That's a good thing. And, you know, progress is being made because why is it that, you know, you can write for sure, and within syndication all around the country, you don't get residual or royalty, while Disney executives and other executives get not millions, billions of dollars. This is the shit I'm talking about in this country, where the rapacious capitalism and the blatant, openly naked dishonesty, you know, where people work hard, you know, there's an agreement to say, hey, you know, you did this, then this is your reward. This is how we work together to build a bigger company and make you, you know, and your family and everything, everybody survive and be happy and, you know, grow the economy, whatever. I mean, it's that daily almost. And I've experienced it in New Mexico where, you know, I don't know how to get into details, but, you know, you make a deal with somebody and when they get what they want, they just basically fuck you over without no explanation, no warning, no nothing. You know, and that's not right. You know,
no, it's not.
I wonder why people lose their shit and do what they do. Well, let me not go there. But, you know, I was going to make a point, but I'll just leave that right there. You know, it's just damn ridiculous that these capitalists get away with what they do.
My husband had a company, you know, it wasn't a big one with three partners.
And he always said, if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. But, you know, they had people second and third generations working for them. They treated their people good. And they gave them loyalty, good work, and they stayed with them. They didn't have to go look for workers. They lined up outside. They wanted to work there. You know, you treat your people good, you get good work out of them, you all win. Not that greedy bullshit that's going on now. It's ridiculous. And it should stay like it was back then. I could keep on saying $2,400 per politician, per election. Mm-hmm. That's all a company could give somebody. You know, rather than the millions and millions now.
Speaking of giving, Senator, the Arizona Senate seat in 2004 coming up is one of the biggest targets by the GOP. But we'll have an uphill battle. Sinema, the incumbent, who may run as an independent, or no, she is running as an independent. She's taken away a vote from a Democrat, Ruben Gallego, the congressman from Arizona. And we make sure Ruben Gallego has all the resources he needs to let, you know, not to let Sinema get what she wants or even have a shot. And God knows who the Republicans going to pick. Will it be that crazy loon who was a news anchor, Carrie Lake, or will it be Masterson? I think Doug Masterson is his name.
Mm-hmm.
A next failure in life who kissed Trump's ass, you know. I mean, Republicans across the board are just abstract and absolute failures in life. You know, so Ruben Gallego, congressman, make sure you go to secure.ngpvan.com. Give money to Ruben Gallego, the congressman running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate in 2024 in Arizona.
What? You know, David, when you mentioned this, it brought something else up into my mind when you mentioned Carrie Lake. Last night I caught a glimpse maybe 10 minutes of Trump here. Trump came here not far from me. He went to a non-union plant. They're actually part suppliers for the automakers. And he went there and rambled on a speech. And the one thing that I got from that is that he said, they're all at a debate right now. And, you know, all of them think that I'm going to pick one of them as my running mate, as, you know, VP. Well, it's not going to be any of them. That's what he said. You know?
Yes. It's just a grand waste of time, really. I don't know why I even watched it to begin with.
And it was a non-union shop, and
yes,
they
was.
Had people that say, Trump, a union, a UAW for Trump. And the people holding the signs weren't even UAW members. They weren't union people. So he handed them out to the audience, and it was all bullshit.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Non-union shot.
Oh, speaking of Jezebel, Carrie Lake, well, make your point, and I speak about that.
Well,
Jezebel.
Nothing. I was just going to say, because when you mentioned Carrie Lake, I remembered about that comment. Maybe he's going to pick her. Who knows? In glory mind, you know.
Yeah. So Carrie Lake, she's leaning towards running for the United States Senate seat in Arizona. And News Nation, I think, spoke with her briefly about that possible candidacy. Three and a half minutes clip, and here it is.
Welcome back here to the Hill on News Nation. We continue our coverage live from the state of Michigan. But, of course, there is a pretty big event going on tonight as well in California as Republicans will hold their second GOP primary debate from the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. Gubernatorial candidate from the state of Arizona and a supporter of Donald Trump, who won't be at the debate, as we know, but she is there essentially speaking on his behalf as a supporter. Carrie, thank you for being here on the Hill once again. So Donald Trump, as we know, won't be on the stage tonight. One of the candidates who's been surging, of course, recently, relatively speaking, of course, is Nikki Haley. Why not Nikki Haley, from your perspective?
Well, we've got a great candidate in President Trump who's up 60 points in the polls. We know he can do the job. He's done it before. All of our lives were better 4 years ago under President Trump. And we already have our guy. He's already done the job, and the American people are supporting him. Any poll you look at, he's winning. I think Nikki Haley is somewhere down around 3 or 4 points, depending on the poll. And frankly, she's kind of handed things over to the globalist agenda. And we don't want to have somebody in the White House who's going to push endless wars, and send our children off to fight wars in foreign countries, wars that we shouldn't have gotten into in the first place. We don't want candidates who are controlled by the war machine. And I,
war machine? Well, who controls Trump more than Putin and Russia? Seriously, you want to talk about globalism and being a stooge? Mm-hmm. Or like a bitch for Vladimir Putin. That's Donald Trump. Right. Trump is Putin's bitch, basically. Oh my God, what is this woman talking about? She runs for seat in Arizona because she's going to lose again.
She's insane. She really is.
I call her Jezebel Lick. She's not a good person. Yeah, she's not a good human being.
No, she's
absolute
not.
Jezebel.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The last thing we talk about tonight. Oh no, you had something else to say, Lori. Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about, since it'll be the last thing possibly. DeSantis and Newsom are going to have a debate.
Mm-hmm.
I find that
in November.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I find
Newsom
that very
wet disaster. Yeah. Newsom is going to wipe his face with the floor.
Oh.
When they say it then.
Wait. This is going to be,
you know?
I mean.
But guess who hosting
night,
it? Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity is the host.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hysterical. But last night I watched a little bit of the GOP debate. It was hysterical. They were all of them were yelling at the same time. One was trying to get a point across. They're all pointing fingers at each other, literally pointing fingers at each other. And no one could control them. The panel couldn't control them, you know, I mean, at all. They weren't saying a word to them. They were just all screaming at each other. You know, it was hysterical, you know. And the funny part, the funniest thing that I heard was when Pence said that he's been sleeping with his wife for 30-some years. It's like, what are you talking about?
Who cares?
I mean, who cares?
Teachers union. That's what he was talking about. She belonged to the teachers union.
I bursted out laughing.
Yeah,
I mean,
retarded.
It was hysterical. I mean, they did not bring up not one policy, not one plan, nothing. All they did was accuse each other of this and that and point fingers and yell at each other. It was hysterical. It was a joke. It was
a complete shit show.
It was a shit show. Yeah. I mean, I watched it for about 20 minutes and I thought, this is too much for me. It's just too much. It's not even normal.
Okay, so,
basically,
I'm going to play some highlights, the biggest moments and takeaways, you know, from the second GOP debate. I mean, it was such a joke, for real.
It was.
Nikki Haley got some zingers in there. Ramaswamy, as usual. You know, Ramaswamy, whatever his name is. Had a big foreheaded freak. You know, he was just annoying as usual.
His voice, David, is very loud.
You just want to, like, you know, kick him in his face. You just want to kick him in the face.
Well, it hurts your
ears. That's how bad he is.
It's so loud and squeaky. It hurts your ears. I mean, it's like, please shut up.
Exactly.
And he points
his
finger constantly. He's constantly pointing his fingers. It just
And when he wants to say something, he raises his hand.
like in school or something. But anyway. Yeah, it's so childish and juvenile and stupid. These people are stupid and have no business running for president. Much less dog catcher for any goddamn state. This is how ignorant and stupid the voting base of the Republican Party is. You know, they're just ignorant and stupid and inbred, probably. Yeah, they have the Nazi credentials down, you know, but good Lord, imagine if any one of those people on stage actually are elected president. Vice president, whatever, you know, Jesus Christ,
you know,
we're doomed.
Was it Swami? I think it was Swami that said that, you know, we have enough gas and oil, you know, to go hundreds of years in this country. We don't need anybody else. Really? Do we need to breathe in this country? Does he, you know, and they all deny climate change, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's taboo. Don't dare say climate change, you know, because then
it's a liberal
hoax.
So dare us. It's a liberal hoax.
Yeah, and
so
how much did they pay to rebuild their cities, like in Florida and California and Louisiana down south, flooding and fires in California? Yeah, that's not climate change. And who the hell's paying for that too, right?
Exactly. So, ladies, without further ado, here is the shit show highlights of the Republican presidential debate last night. I'm glad we didn't have a show last night because we'd have missed it, you know, and we watch it so the other people out there who listen don't have to watch it and vomit and, you know, projectile vomit on the TV screens.
Exactly.
So here it is. Starting out with Tim Scott and Uncle Tim. Uncle Tom. Tim Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is.
Joe Biden should not be on the picket line. He should be on the southern border working to close our southern border because it is unsafe, wide open, and insecure.
Look, I do disagree with something Tim Scott just said. Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line. As president...
And that fell flat, you know? He was expecting a big applause there. But the Kill Mike Pence crowd, just like... gasped basically when the Pence said what he said. He was looking for a slammer, but you know it fell flat.
It did not.
Continuing.
Yep, it did.
In the United States, I'll be standing with workers all across America, and I'll be standing for the right to work of every American to join a union or not join a union. As
not work well in Michigan.
If the government shuts down, should voters blame populist Republicans?
Voters should blame everybody who's in Washington, D.C.
Where's Joe Biden? He's completely missing in action from leadership. And you know who else is missing in action? Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight. He owes it to you to defend his record where they added $7.8 trillion to the debt.
And I want to look at that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight. Not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. Your
best goddamn line of the night. I'm sorry. That was so, oh, my Lord. That was so orgasmic. He is one who is telling the truth. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do agree with Chris Christie on any goddamn policy. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. But he hit that out of the ballpark. And Nikki Haley also had
Donald Trump,
singer.
He's Donald Duck.
That was a decent line. That was a decent line. But let me play that line again, what Chris Christie was saying about he's such a coward and he doesn't want to be there because he knows his record can't stand up. But that was such a good goddamn line. You know? And remember, Chris Christie, I do not like Chris Christie. I used to live in Jersey and everything. And he was just a failure, abstract, absolute failure. But here is Chris Christie again, dropping that bomb.
Camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight. Not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
You have said Slaves developed skills in spite of slavery, not because of it.
Yeah, this is DeSantis answering the slave question, where, you know, he claimed months ago that slavery was a benefit to black people, the goddamn Nazi that he is, and listen to him.
But many are still hurt. For the sentence of slaves, this is personal. What is your message to them?
So first of all, that's a hoax that was perpetrated by Kamala Harris. We are not going to be doing that. Second of all, that was written by descendants of...
Oh, well, this guy's so full of shit. Oh, my God. You know, I'm choking on this bullshit right now. Good Lord.
These are great black history scholars, so we need to stop playing these games.
There is not a redeeming quality in slavery. He and Kamala should have just taken the one sentence out.
I have a radical idea for the Republican Party. We need to win elections. And
yeah, somebody should kick you in the face, you damn big foreheaded piece of shit. Fuck you, Ramaswamy. Eat a chicken and choke on a chicken bone and die, you piece of shit.
Part of how we win elections is reaching the next generation of young Americans where they are. So when I get into office, I've been very clear. Kids under the age of under the age of 16 should not be using addictive social media.
This is infuriating because TikTok is one of the most dangerous social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you...
Yeah, let's hear that line again. That's Nikki Haley putting Ramaswamy in this place. Every time she hears him speak, she gets dumber from hearing him speak. I agree with you, Nikki Haley. I don't like you. You know, but Jesus, that was a great line, like Chris Christie. Let's hear that line again. Classic.
It has. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. You've gone and you've helped China build make medicines in China, not America. You are now wanting kids to go and get on the social media that's dangerous for all of us. You went and you were in business with the Chinese that gave Hunter Biden $5 million. We can't trust you.
Polls don't elect presidents. Voters elect presidents.
Right.
And we're going to take the case to the people in these early states. We're going to do it in the state-by-state direction. And why? Because as Reagan said in his day, this is our time for choosing.
Yes, yes, time for choosing. And yes, we're going to choose Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in 2024. We're going to vote for the straight line ticket in every state because Democrats have a plan. Democrats have been working to get America forward, helping the American people after COVID. Donald Trump and the Republicans failed. In terms of the economy, the COVID, post-COVID economy, Joe Biden has created 13 million jobs. The CHIPS Act is a good thing. It's not going to be right away to the effects and the benefits, but in the next decade or so, probably hopefully sooner, you're going to see how the CHIPS program will help America, where we won't have to deal with China or depend on them. You know, the different things that Joe Biden has done and get legislation passed and signed into law. Republicans had nothing to do with it, America, absolutely nothing. They went in there, every one of them, along partisan lines, voted no, okay? Even the quote-unquote moderates, you know? They have no balls. They have no gumption. They have no common sense. But they have the nerve now, America, to go out there to their districts and say, oh, yes, you know, look what we did for you, you know, you're getting jobs, you're getting this, you're getting that. Republican Party, we need to settle them in 2024, a big, gigantic fuck you and vote Democrat, because the Republican Party do not care for you. They hate your guts, they hate America, they work with Russia, they collude with Russia, and Donald Trump is their leader, and he's going to go to prison. And Bubba is going to have fun because Trump is going to be Bubba's bitch. I can't wait for that day. I have the champagne there cooling on ice. The day that happened and, you know, he goes to prison is the day I'm opening that champagne bottle and celebrating. And God's willing, karma will get his enablers like Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and whoever else. These bastards have to go. They have to go to prison or, by any means necessary, the karma will get them. Their karma will get them. But rant is over. Go ahead, Lori. Okay, is anybody there? I can't hear anybody.
I am
What is
here.
Going on tonight? Okay. Lori, can you hear
I'm
me?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So,
oh,
yeah, I don't know what happened when, yeah,
oh, okay.
I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know what the hell is happening, for real.
It's
I don't
okay.
know.
Don't worry. It's okay. So,
yeah, get your shit together, Block Talk Radio. Yeah, go
the
ahead, Gloria.
The infrastructure bill, you know, even though, you know, the Republicans voted no, what is he doing? He's rebuilding red states. You know, that's what he's doing because he doesn't look at red and blue. He looks at as everyone as being in one country. That's how he looks at things. You know, they had Trump had the failed wall, you know, the tax cuts for the rich, the richest of the rich, I should say, you know. And now guess who's got to pay that back, the $3 trillion, to us, Trump supporters. Don't they realize that, you know? Then there was the PACT Act for veterans. How about the, well, you said the CHIPS Act. There was, then there was the burn, what was that called, for the veterans. There was that one.
The burn
pit.
Yeah.
Burn
pit. Yes, the burn pit, yes. And then active duty and federal employees got the biggest pay hike in 20 years. I mean, these are facts over feelings. I mean, they're facts. They're not anything that we're lying about. Anyone can
How
go
about
on
the bounty
the
on the soldiers over there in Afghanistan?
Yeah, I know. You know, so, you know, anyone can go onto the Internet and you can Google, you know, President Biden's accomplishments or the Biden administration's accomplishments. And
they have to publicize that big time. People don't realize all that he's done. You know,
no, they don't.
Point to the bridge and say, your Republican voted against it, but look what I did.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
You know, good paying jobs. Go ahead.
On a matter of reproductive rights, ladies, I have this 1 minute advertisement by Joe Biden, and it came out like a month ago. It resonates with suburban women who usually typically vote Republican. You know, because of this, you know, lack of respect for women and them turning their backs on women's rights. And basically, you know, have a warned woman. Joe Biden came up with this ad, and here it is.
Reproductive health care decisions are among the most personal a woman will ever make. They are choices that should be made by you and your doctor. And the last people who should be involved are these guys.
First of all, I'm the one that got rid of Roe v. Wade.
Florida Governor DeSantis quietly signed into law one of the nation's strictest abortion bans.
Governor DeSantis, you signed a 6-week abortion ban in Florida. I believe in a culture of life.
If I were president of the United States, I would literally sign the most conservative pro-life legislation that they can get through Congress.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? It's a principle.
And the answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
President Biden and Vice President Harris are determined to restore Roe v. Wade, and they will never allow a national abortion ban to become law. As long as they are in office, decisions about your body will be made by you, not by them.
Yep. So, you know,
as
women, you know, starting with Lori and then Susie and then Elaine, what are your thoughts on that ad? You heard a lot about Donald Trump saying that, oh, you know, I turned over Roe versus Wade like he's sitting on the goddamn Supreme Court.
Yeah,
this orange piece of shit, this fascist. You know? Who is he, man? Oh, yeah, I got Roe versus Wade overturned. Donald Trump, fuck you. Why don't you die already? Well, go ahead, Lori.
He put two of his people on that bench. He put two of his people on that bench.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Three people, Gorsuch, Barrett Corney, and the rapist, Kavanaugh. You know, the woman rapist.
Yep.
You know, he got those three in. Oh, and Mitch McConnell, he has a role in it, though, because remember, it was election year, it was 2016, and Chuck Schumer, Democrat New York, now majority leader, came out a couple of weeks before the election that time and said, hey, we shook hands and made a gentleman's agreement that, okay, whenever there's presidential season, we'll put anybody up for Supreme Court or whatever. And like a damn fool, you know, the majority leader, the then minority leader, you know, fell for what McConnell was saying, knowing what liars him and these Republicans are, shysters. You know, yeah. And we got these three imbeciles on the Supreme Court to make majority. I mean, what was Chuck Schumer thinking, goddammit?
You know, I don't know.
It's that really pissed me off. I mean, Democrats doing well, doing good now in the U.S. Senate. And
yes,
I want to win
are.
New seats. But Jesus Christ, that was such a bitch move by Chuck Schumer. So, oh, yes, we'll have a gentleman's agreement. Oh, yes, and we'll go back in our word. And what did McConnell do after the election? Three goddamn Nazi, Christian, idiotic, moronic, rapist, dominionist assholes on the Supreme Court, thanks to him.
Yep.
You know, so the health scare that McConnell have, I just wish he just like stroke out and die on camera. That would be such good ratings for the different, like all the inter ratings and everything. You know, they're not, you know, there to tell the truth, but in ratings. I hope Mitch McConnell croak one day on air. That was such a great thing. Great thing for America and the world. But I digress.
I saw him today, actually. He said a few words. He looks like the Walking Dead. He really does. It's unbelievable. You know, his eyes are so big and wide, you know, open. I mean, I just don't know. But
he looks like a goddamn zombie, the son of a bitch.
Yeah,
he looks like a goddamn zombie.
Yeah, he did speak a little bit, you know, a few words today, and he didn't freeze up, but, he does not look good, you know. And, you know, they have the gall to talk about President Biden. You know, he's gone, he said today in his speech also that he has traveled 17,000 miles in the last few weeks. Think about that. Do you know how hard it is to travel like that?
Time zones, that kills you.
And the time zone, you know, you think it's your body thinks it's morning, but it's night, or your body thinks it's night and it's morning. I mean, think about that. I mean, President Biden, sorry, I'm not sorry. He's a hero. That man is amazing to me. And, you know, you have to think about this. Yes, he probably wanted to become president, but I think he also felt it was his duty because he's been in, you know, government most of his life, and he felt it was his duty to do this one thing because he saw this country was going down the toilet, and he's trying to save a country is what he's trying to do, and he's doing everything. And he said also today, he said, I am doing my best. It's not always perfect, but I am doing my best. Isn't that all we want from a human being, is to do their best? And that is what President Joe Biden is doing his best. And
he saved us once, and I'm hoping he'll save us again until we're over this miserable hump, because the Republicans are a disgrace. We got to just get rid of them, and especially the orange monsters got to go to jail for life.
You know, and the other thing is when I think about, you know, when I think about him being president, he has wisdom. He has experience. Those two things, you cannot buy those two things. You can't buy his experience that he has had working with, you know, other Democrats, other Republicans, other dignitaries all around the world. You can't buy that experience. You really can't.
No, and they were thrilled to see him in office, too, the worldwide, because they couldn't
they
deal
were.
With the green orange monster.
Yes, absolutely. So, in a way, I'm thinking – you know, maybe he's reluctantly running, you know, for president because he feels, like he said, his job is not done. His job is not done. That's how he feels. And, you know, he could be living probably a good life, you know, traveling with his wife and enjoying his grandchildren and, you know, everything else and his children. You know, he could be living life. Instead, look what he's doing instead.
I'm sorry, but God bless Joe Biden. That's all I have to say. That
he's my hero.
He is a hero. He is. He is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
He loves this country, too. He's dedicated,
mm-hmm.
and he loves this country. He loves the people
mm-hmm.
of the country. He is a devoted man. And, you know, I don't mean not to talk religion, but, you know, he is a devout Catholic. And they said since he's been president, no matter where he's been around the world, he has never missed going to church. That's important to him. I give him kudos
mm-hmm.
for that. If that's what's important to him and if that's what helps to hold him, you know, hold his spirit up or however you want to say it, then God bless
mm-hmm.
him for that. I give him kudos
yeah.
for that as well. And I'm done.
Indeed.
Go ahead, David.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about season 5, episode 37. The topic is As America Churns. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. You can go to our website and visit www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid, and this has been a great show tonight. I really, really appreciate the people listening in, calling in. Some
mm-hmm.
people rather listen than call in because of shyness. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Tell a friend, and the friend tell a friend, and it was like this whole domino effect. And even though we get, you know, quite a few listeners and everything, we're grateful for that because I know a lot of box operator stores that are on air for years and not one single time somebody called, you know, so
mm-hmm.
we have the regulars and new people calling in. We really appreciate that. Social media, working on a social media outlet to get things going and everything. We had a little hiccup, but, you know, like I say, you know, karma will work its magic and we'll be out there in short order. And we're going to hit it big before 2024, I promise you. I promise you, fans of the show. And you know what's good, too? Not only is people in the United States and Canada listening, but people in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
Sweden, Holland, Germany, Great Britain,
mm-hmm.
Wales,
yeah.
France, you know? And so we
yeah.
even had a couple callers from foreign countries, you know, as
mm-hmm.
far as Siberia, but because a person couldn't speak proper English, they'd rather not
mm-hmm.
speak on air, you know, but at least Siberia
mm-hmm.
listening, you know, at least they're interested
it's
in
amazing.
What's happening in America and everything. Goddamn
yeah,
Siberia,
exactly.
you know? So,
I know, that's amazing.
I mean, if anybody wanted to demean us as, oh, you know, you're in a small market, you're a nobody and everything, hey, you know, even idiot Rush Limbaugh had to start from somewhere, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
The bloated buffoon is probably burning in hell, if you believe in heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not a show.
Oh,
about
yeah.
it.
I don't
the
miss
show
it at
is
all.
About hope. Nah. And I guess the worms having a feast there in his grill. You know, fat rat bastard that he is, just like Trump. But anyway, you know, this show is about positivity. And this show
mm-hmm.
is about, you know, telling the truth and getting the truth out there and, like, really motivating people to go out there. And
mm-hmm.
register to vote. And thank God for Taylor Swift because she did a very noble thing, you know, when she got so many people, over 500,000
mm-hmm.
people, registered new voters to register,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
yep.
I'm telling you, a week is a lifetime in politics, but Republican Party, you think 2018 loss was anything for the Republican
mm-hmm.
Party? Just you watching 2024, Democrats are going to uproot them and whoop their asses so bad. I cannot
mm-hmm.
wait, you know?
I know.
And talk all this shit about
I...
Joe Biden, oh, he's old and what have you. You know,
mm-hmm.
your orange clown is 2 years younger than him, and you can't put a coherent goddamn sentence together. So, you know, talk all you want.
Yep.
He can't even drink
the other day.
He
drink
thought he beat Obama, remember, on that one speech? He really messed up. He thought he beat Obama.
And he can't even drink drink water. He has to hold it with two hands. And he's just a goddamn buffoon. All these Republican fascists are buffoons. You know,
I
need to come to a show one night. I need to come to a show one night where I'm just
mm-hmm.
happy and talk about good things. But no, these fascists
mm-hmm.
just piss me off. And these crazy business people who are dishonest, you know,
mm-hmm.
yourselves out there, not retiring names, you know, and pig wit hits, squeal loudest, you know who I'm talking about in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
karma is going to fucking get you. You play with fire, you're going to get burned, okay?
So,
hey, David,
that,
I was going
to read
something. These are some of the nonsensical statements that the orange one has made in the last few, in the last 10 days. He said you need ID to buy bread. Since when do you need ID to buy
bread?
What
kind of bread is buying?
I don't know. He also said you ran against Obama in 2016. Sorry, you ran against Hillary. He warned that President Biden will get us involved in World War II. Didn't we already win World War II?
Didn't
we already do that? Okay.
He
confused Jeb Bush with George W. Bush by saying Jeb Bush got us involved in the Middle East.
You know, I'm telling you, you know,
he's losing his mind to read those two statements because he is losing his mind. He really is.
Yeah, dementia setting in or something.
Well, I think, yes, that could be true. But all this pressure from, you know, the $250 million from, that's New York. Then he's got D.C. He's got Florida. He's got Georgia. You know, Georgia, he's not going to be able to go into a federal court. He's got to be in state court. His goose is cooked, and he knows it.
And all the names on all the buildings have to come off in New York. That is so cool. There'll be no name on a building or a golf course that says Trump.
Yep.
That is so cool. I can't hardly wait.
I know.
Exactly.
The latest was that they were going to investigate his filings with Mar-a-Lago. Is Mar-a-Lago the square footage that he claims it is, is it less?
He said that it was worth $1 billion, Mar-a-Lago. Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
I understand they're supposed to start investigating his questionnaire on when he got the money from Mar-a-Lago.
He inflated everything.
I got into a discussion with someone, and I said he should go to prison. And they said, well, what other thing do you think should happen to him? He can't go to prison. I said, okay, I'll compromise with you. Let him lose everything. And I want to see him in a cardboard box down by the river.
Yeah.
And by the way, has he ever talked about what he will do if he gets reelected? Does he have a program? Does he have a policy or anything outside of demolishing the government, getting rid of the top brass at the military, and getting rid of the courts and all that because they... said something against them and closing the newspapers because they talk about him, or getting rid of the TV stations that talk against him. That's all he talks about. It's all about him.
He's very Hitlerish. He's very Hitlerish. That's what he is. That's his dream.
Yeah.
His dream is to become Hitler.
I just wish that the fat rat bastard orange piece of garbage would eat KFC and choke on a chicken bone and just die, and somebody catch them. That was so
put us out of our misery.
Was so good. But then again, he'd die of Martha, so you know, there's that.
It is miserable to know that he's alive every day and he's lying every day and he's breathing air every day, all of that. But
I want him to get 2% in the vote. That's it. Beat him bad, and go out in humiliation, and all those trials will follow, and he'll go to prison. That's a good part.
That's the part that I want to see. I want to see him in an orange jumpsuit and shackles. That will be my glory. That will be my glory day. You know,
our work will still be there. Because we have to get our rights back. We have to get our voting rights back. We need to pass the John Lewis law.
We need to get Roe versus Wade back. This is crazy. A woman needs to be put to death if she happens to get pregnant in her tubes and has to have the fetus removed from her tubes. A woman should be put to death. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, that's just so out.
That's so extreme these fascists are. Mussolini was smiling and, you know, probably cowing in a corner the way these Republicans are so far right. Genghis Khan don't have nothing on these bitches, for real. But anyway, this is the last ad here by Joe Biden. It's called War Zone for the 2024 campaign. And it was released first 3 weeks ago, where he went onto the front lines of Ukraine to meet with Zelensky. And this is the one that I had a whole people hearing and enjoy. Okay, why is it not playing? Jesus. Okay, let's try this again. I don't know what's going on tonight, really.
It's fine.
No, it was such a good
An American president went into a war zone not controlled by the United States.
A nearly 40-hour journey in and out of Ukraine.
President Biden left Washington, D.C. at 4 a.m. on Sunday. He landed in eastern Poland and then took a 9.5-hour train to Kyiv.
He entered Ukraine under the cover of night. And in the morning, Joe Biden walked shoulder to shoulder with our allies in the war-torn streets, standing up for democracy in a place where a tyrant is waging war to take it away.
Air raid sirens blared as the two men walked together.
In the middle of a war zone, Joe Biden showed the world what America is made of. That's the quiet strength of a true leader who doesn't back down to a dictator. Biden, President.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Yep. There you have it, Joe Biden, going to a war zone that's not controlled by the United States, first time ever in U.S. history. Can you picture the orange piece of shit doing that anywhere in the world, or any of those Republicans on the stage last night doing that?
No.
You know, couldn't, you know, poor Chris Christie.
40 hours
two shots lick. Could you picture Chris Christie running for cover? I mean, I'm surprised he can't walk the way he's so big. Well, I digress. I'm trying to be nice tonight. This is the nice side of me. I'm so pumped up.
Oh, David, you're lit tonight.
Boy, you are cooking.
You know, I'm just sick of these people.
Yeah.
Sick of them. This great show, disgusting, embarrassing.
Yeah, we're all set up. And, you know, we have a way to go, though. We have to continue on.
Yes, we do.
You know, we have to. We have a way to go.
Yes, we do. So go to joebiden.com for information on how you can help the president and Vice President Kamala Harris reelected. DNC.org to give contribution to the Democratic National Committee. And Democrats running from local level, federal level, and statewide level. We need Democrats in there because Michigan did it. New Mexico did it. You know, California's been doing it for years. New York. Holding the fort there. We need to get more states blue. We're working on Florida and Texas, but that's an uphill battle because, you know, I guess people who vote in Florida, especially Texas, they're thick in the head. You know, that's what happened when first cousins marry. You know, they have children who are not really intelligent. You know, but anyway, you know, with that has been the final word. But thank you, everybody. Elaine from Michigan calling in. Hope to see you better soon. Suzanne from Michigan
as well.
Have a
good night.
Have a
yes,
good night, guys. Take care.
Yeah, man. And everybody for listening, sharing. We're on kitchenpolitics123.com and we're also on Facebook. Look for us, kitchenpolitics123.com. Just type it in the search engine and you'll find us, both the community page and also not the community page as well, but the group page. So until Sunday, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, 7:30 p.m. Mountain time, we will be back again with a different topic, and we look forward to hearing from you. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. Everyone be safe. Have a good night, and vote blue. Good night, all. Thank you.
So ferry, cross the Mersey,
always take me there, the place I love. People around every corner, they seem to smile and say, we don't care what your name is, boy, we'll never send you away. So I'll continue to say, here I always will stay. So bear me across the Mersey, 'cause this land's the place I love, and here I'll stay. And here I'll stay. Here I'll stay.